This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Karen Pryor Academy for Animal Training and Behavior. Get the details on our professional dog trainers program. We develop, certify, and support excellent teachers and trainers. Visit www.karenpryoracademy.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
Become your business's chief medical officer. How to diagnose for increased profitability. By Aaron Clayton for Karen Pryor Clicker Training. Like a person or your pet, your business needs regular checkups to stay healthy. While you may turn to a medical professional to get advice on you or your pet's health, to whom do you turn for your business? Professional business consultants are available, but are usually out of the reach of small training practices. The result is that training businesses go without a health checkup. Your business may be limping along, and you don't know why. Your business may look great, but there's something lethal on the horizon that you don't see coming. Or your business may be healthy, but you'd like to get it even more fit. The good news is that not only are you the chief executive officer, you can also be your own chief medical officer. The operating health of your training business can be powerfully assessed in 15 minutes by applying a few familiar concepts in new ways. You may not want to try brain surgery quite yet, but you'll be able to assess how well your business is performing, what its intrinsic growth limits are, and what the payoff could be from any improvements that you may make. After you assess your business's health, you should be able to answer the following questions. Is my business performing at a level that is healthy for my finances? What are the prospects for improving my business? Where should I direct my energies to create the most profit? And if I direct my energies there, what will the payoff be? Let's start by checking your vitals, or a section I call, How's Your PSA? Examining a business begins with some simple concepts, not unlike taking your blood pressure, weight, and cholesterol. The concepts we'll use are P, profit, S, sales, and A, assets, or PSA. Just like the combined measure of your weight and blood pressure is more meaningful to a doctor than weight alone, PSA can be combined to provide a very quick picture of how you're performing and where you might look to improve your own business. To gather these figures together, sit down at your desk with a calculator. Determine your profit for the last full year, or even the last half year. For profit, use net income, which is, you know, the bottom line on your financial statement. Then, total your sales for the same period. Finally, figure out your average total assets for the same period, average of the current period and the prior period. Your assets are things like your cash, your receivables, your payables, and your fixed assets like your building. It's the money that you have tied up in the business. The first way to combine the concepts is to divide profits, P, by sales, S. This number will tell you how much of every dollar you take in is available to you as profit. This is an important number for you to have at your fingertips, as it quickly tells you how many cents of every dollar that comes in the door are available to you to reinvest in the business or take out as an extra dividend to yourself. The second way to combine the concepts is to divide sales by assets, also known as asset turnover. This measures how well you use your assets to generate sales. Don't lose sight of this number, sales divided by assets, because it quickly tells you how much bang for the buck you're currently getting. For every dollar of assets you had over the course of the year, how many dollars in sales did you generate? By looking at S divided by A, or sales divided by assets, you immediately benchmark your sales efficiency. If, say, your ratio produces a 7, that means you generated $7 of sales for every dollar of assets you have in the business. Pretty good for a manufacturing-intensive business, okay for a retailer, and extraordinary for a book publisher. But low-overhead service businesses like yours should do far better. The third way to combine the numbers you know to find the information you don't is to look at profits divided by assets, or P divided by A. P divided, or P over A, is a very powerful measure, as it is your return on assets, or ROA. For every dollar of assets you have, what level of profit did you generate? The astute observer will note that P divided by A is simply the product of multiplying P divided by S times S divided by A. Or, in other words, your ROA is a function of how well you manage your profit margin, P over S, and your asset turnover, S over A. ROA, or P divided by A, is the most widely accepted barometer of operating performance, and it will rise or fall depending on how well you can manage profitability and asset efficiency. Dell Computer reports ROA of approximately 14%, and Apple Computer has an ROA of 9.6%. As you might expect, Dell's profit margin is lower than Apple's, 6.4% versus 8%, but its asset turnover is double that of Apple. You've graduated, so now welcome to the emergency room. Let's take a look at a patient. I'll call her Dog Training Clicks, DTC. DTC generates $250,000 in annual sales. It has $10,000 in profits and has average total assets of $100,000. DTC owns the building it operates in, operates about 50 weeks a year, has many classes each day plus daycare. It doesn't have any debt and takes most of its net income year to year and takes it to reinvest back in the business. According to our healthy business principles, what might we observe about DTC? Well, to begin, we know its profit margin is 4% and its asset turnover is 2.5. In other words, for every dollar of assets, DTC is generating $2.50 of sales. Return on assets is 10%, which means for every dollar that has been invested in this business, the business earned 10 cents this year. Put another way, there's a bunch of money invested in this training school and it's earning 10%. Assuming this is all 100% equity financed, in other words, not borrowed money where interest is being paid, that's the same as a return on the owner's equity investment of 10%. So what do you think of the health of DTC? Is it healthy? Is the person running it getting financially healthier? What are the next questions we should ask? Let me make three observations. First observation, this business is not generating an adequate return for its owner. Simply investing in the stock market on average generates a 10% pre-tax return, but the stock market is a highly liquid investment involving a moderate degree of risk. A training business is not liquid and, like any small business venture, involves a tremendous level of risk. So the owner should expect far more from her investment. Granted, the owner might be paying herself an inflated salary and therefore artificially driving down the profit, but those are questions to explore. If I were DTC's doctor, I'd say that DTC should generate more of a return for its owner. I feel like I'm looking at the equivalent of a 35-year-old woman who has difficulty breathing after walking up a flight of stairs. She should be healthier. Second observation, there's a lot of potential for improvement. How do I know this? Well, I look at the components of return on assets, or ROA, and I am struck by the profit margin, P over S, of 4%, and the asset turnover, S over A, ratio of 2.5. The 4% is small. The owner should be striving for, at a minimum, 10%, and ideally 15 to 20% profit margin. The asset turnover of 2.5 is also not all that impressive. A well-run manufacturing company can be turning its assets over far more times than that, and a service company certainly should be. If the profit margin improved to 10% and the asset turnover from just 2.5 to 3, the owner would be generating a return on assets of 30%, which is much more what I would expect from this business. Even if the profit margin stayed at 4%, but asset turnover improved to 4, DTC would be generating a 16% ROA, which is moving in the right direction. So my patient can get better. I've got to lower her blood pressure and reduce her weight. Third observation. This training company can continue as is, and it has the capacity to grow, but not very fast, at only about 9% annually. To grow faster, it needs to make fundamental changes that can improve its ROA. In other words, my patient isn't about to die, but her quality of life isn't what it should be. She can muddle through with her condition and keep going. If, however, I want to put her on a different quality of life trajectory, she must engage in some fundamental change, diet, exercise, etc. How do I know this? I combined ROA with two new pieces of information about the company to calculate something I call, it's commonly called actually, the sustainable growth rate, SGR. So what is SGR? SGR measures how fast a business can grow, assuming that its current operating performance and financial structure remain in place. If it grows faster than its sustainable growth rate, or SGR, it'll run out of cash. Simplified, the SGR is the product of return on assets times something that's called the structural multiplier. What's the structural multiplier? The structural multiplier is a constant that we use to represent how the business is financed, which is, at the end of the day, a function of how much debt it has relative to its equity and how much of its profit it reinvests back in the business. To calculate the structural multiplier, we need to remember how much equity versus debt the company has and how much of net income is reinvested back in the company. Remember that this company is 100% equity financed. It has no debt, and that most, or 90% of the net income, is retained for investment back in the company, not paid out to the owner. So in this case, the structural multiplier is 0.9, and its SGR, or sustainable growth rate, is 0.9 times its ROA, or 0.9 times 10%, or 9%. So, if this business wants to grow faster than 9%, it has three broad options. One, it can add debt or equity to finance the growth. Neither of these is attractive, as the company isn't generating very high profit margins or return on assets as it is. Second, it can plow more earnings back into the company. At best, this will have only a marginal effect because 90% of the earnings go back into the company now anyway. But as noted previously, even if that weren't so, the owner is actually better off putting that money into the stock market, at least until the ROA improves. Third, it can improve its operating performance. It can grow without adding assets at the same rate, or grow sales at better profit margins, or both. With an improved ROA to 40%, the company's sustainable growth rate rises to 36%. So, now we know we've got to get the company's ROA up. Is improving the ROA possible? Absolutely. But there's a lot of planning and work ahead. It's not crystal clear what actions to take, but I'd begin to formulate my plan by getting answers to three things. Why are we only generating 4% profit? What is going on? Is this just a case of my costs being too high relative to my sales? Or am I underpriced in the market? Am I using too much working capital in my business? Are we collecting the bills on time? Managing payables? How can we generate additional sales without adding assets at the same rate? This is likely to be a big area for exploration. We know the owner can't grow the company fast if she needs to invest the same amount in assets as she has in the past. Something needs to change about what and or how she is selling. We just don't know what yet, so we'll have to spend some more time understanding this area. Well, some congratulations are in order. You've already got a grip on this patient's health. So here's the summary. The business is not generating an adequate return. To generate a better return, DTC needs to focus on its operating performance, improve profit margin and/or asset turnover, and look at ways to boost the profit margin on new sales and/or grow sales in ways that don't involve much growth in the asset base itself. Small improvements can make a big difference in the company's ROA. If it doesn't improve these benchmarks, well, this small business can grow but not very quickly. And if it grows too fast, it will run out of cash and likely have to close. Developing and choosing the specific options will take a deeper exploration and understanding of this business. In other words, we'll need to run some tests and spend a bit more time on the medical history. We'll be back to the patient soon. In fact, at many of the Clicker Expo seminars, you can hear how these specific issues of businesses like these can get addressed. But, hey, that's not bad for us spending 15 minutes in the doctor's office. Come to think of it, that's pretty much all you get nowadays anyway. Oh, and before I forget, on your way out, don't forget the copay. You have been listening to a podcast presented by Karen Pryor Clicker Training. This particular article has been written and read by the author, Aaron Clayton. Become your business's chief medical officer. How to diagnose for increased profitability. Thank you for listening.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Karen Pryor Academy for Animal Training and Behavior. Get the details on our professional dog trainers program. We develop, certify, and support excellent teachers and trainers. Visit www.karenpryoracademy.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.